Jay Crawford, Adam the Bull, Garrett Bush, and so many big names, it would take me hours to say all of their names. The ultimate Cleveland sports show. Booyah!
Oh!
And here we are!
Dirty
ball
dog.
Pulled God, look at that mustache.
Dog. Ball pulled a fast one on us this morning, man.
Super Mario! Super Bros!
It looks like Mario ate Luigi.
Hey, Luigi!
You know what? You don't look like a pedophile, so congratulations for that.
It's borderline, but thank you.
Hey, oh no, oh yeah.
You're one of them.
Actually, but I like it. You look like an old relief. You like if David Wells came out of retirement today.
No, you look like you're showing up at my house to fix a clog in the plumb.
Yes.
You look like a plumber.
My wife was horrified. My son liked it. I said, because a couple of weeks ago, we put a picture up of me in high school, and I had like this little, you know, thin mustache, and somebody said, oh, you got to do that again. And I was like, I haven't had just a mustache since high school.
My goodness.
And I said to my wife this morning, I said, I'm shaving it all, I'm leaving the mustache, and I'm going to wear a mask. So for folks, you don't know.
Yeah.
I've been wearing a mask for the whole half hour I'm here saying I had a cold.
And I see him in the bathroom with a mask on. I'm like, you all right? And he's like, yeah, I'm just not feeling well. I'll take it off for the show. And I'm thinking, well, it's kind of weird. You're going to, whatever. Exactly. Like, hey, I learned a long time ago, don't question masks, man. Just
anybody
let it
who
go.
Comes in the studio with even the slightest sniffle.
There you go. There's the mustache.
They should not be here.
That's right.
They should be wearing a mask.
Right.
If you even... Around Bull,
if you sneeze
like,
in the morning,
like,
don't
be
show
here.
Up.
And he has every right to because his wife is going through some issues, some health stuff.
Yeah.
So you're totally in the right.
And,
but he came in and I spent 20 minutes being like, Bull, you're a hypocrite. How dare you?
Right.
And
they killed him.
You were playing us. Good job.
There's teenage me.
He literally just took the mask off right before the show.
Man, I hate it. Yeah, I'm glad you guys like it. I think it looks so weird. I got to decide if I'm going to shave it off before my Little League game tonight.
Oh, yeah. If you're going to be around kids, you probably should.
I probably should, right?
Oh, my God.
What'd you say? I might be arrested?
You show up with that mustache around 3 dozen sub-10-year-olds,
you know what you should do? If you keep the mustache, you should find, like, a passenger van with no windows on it and drive that to the game. You'll definitely
then
be arrested.
I'll be 100% arrested. Speaking of mustaches, real quick, before we get into more serious things, one time my son, when he was like 5 or 4 or something, he had what turned out to be, the croup? We have a terrible cough.
Yeah.
And it's scary when you first,
you're
a new parent. And we took him to the emergency room. And the guy who was doing the treatment on him had this thin mustache with like the Raleigh fingers curls. And it's like, how do I not stare at this guy's mustache? I mean, like, my wife is like hitting me not to laugh. I want to crack up, but it's like you wear a silly mustache only, especially with curls at the end. You know, you pay the price.
What do you think's gonna happen?
But I held it together. Anyway,
but before we move on, we're gonna do a PCC read real quick because the chat's roasting you, and I'm gonna read you some
Love
chat
it.
Roast. If our today's roast, and this is off the top, we're just gonna do this live, and I'm gonna miss some, I'm sure, but. Whenever we read internet comments, and today it is Roasting Bull's mustache, it's brought to us by our good friends at PCC Airfoils. You're looking for a job with career advancement and great benefits? Well, PCC Airfoils is the leading manufacturer in Northeast Ohio. All locations of PCC Airfoils in Eastlake, Menor, Wickliffe, and Minerva are hiring for all positions starting at $18 and up, plus full benefit packages, paid time off, and a signing bonus. You can apply online at precast.com/careers to learn more.
Should I let it come longer? Cut it off too short there. I don't know.
I'm going to read a couple, as many as I can find in the next minute and a half. Insane Overlord says you look like Paul Blart. Lawrence Goggins says Policeman Bull. The April says, hey, look, it's time to make the donuts. I guess you look like a donut maker. Tom DePore says
the Dunkin' Donuts commercials back in the day.
Tom DePore says he looks like a 1980 sports writer. Lawrence says Bull looks like he gets donuts and coffee for free on the shift. Kenny Miller says that's definitely fake. Joel Dine says Lieutenant Bull. Evan 419 says Bull looks like the regular at the local strip joint who eats there every Taco Tuesday. SCR429 says it's a front and back mullet. The April, Colonel Hogan, I see nothing. Lauren says, Bull, please recite the Miranda rights. William says, Bull looks like Norm from Cheers.
Yes.
Lauren says, nah, Bull, you getting in a van right now is dangerous.
Yeah.
Bull looks like Zach Galifianakis in a political movie.
Galifianakis,
sorry, that's from Eddie.
Yeah.
Someone called Chris Hansen.
Can you come?
Soul Train says it looks like your creepy drunk uncle.
Oh yeah.
Michael T says mustache rides for all. and Michael Malone Michael says what is Bull doing? If we see some more, we'll save it for the end of the show. Earl, you got one? What's up?
Bull look like the plumber from that one episode of Martin. It's called Dead Man Flush. I'm gonna pull up the video. You gotta watch.
Yeah, I gotta see the guy.
And last
that.
One, Set Apart Laz says, if we don't get Hopkins, it's definitely because he saw Bull's mustache. So, thank you to the chat. That was unprecedented. And last one, JD King of the Smoke Ring says, Bull's the new Mario brother. I see. It's kind of like a Jewish Wario.
I'm Angelo. I'm going to go by Angelo, right?
You did have a lot of the bear skit. George went on the bear skit on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
It's the bears.
Yeah. The bears.
It's a little Mike Holmgren in that mustache, too. It's a little Holmgren in that.
So shout out to the chat. You guys are undefeated as always. If we see some more, we will roast him.
Keep roasting me. I think these are really funny. On a much more serious note,
you make the transition.
Much more serious note. Obviously, it came out yesterday that Jim Donovan is suffering from leukemia. He was re-diagnosed. It's been a while, but he just announced it yesterday. There you go. Obviously, WKYC. Jim Donovan announced that he's once again battling leukemia. As someone who obviously has a wife battling leukemia, I certainly sympathize with Jim. I know you guys all do. We all know him. So, you know, you probably know him better than we do. I know Jim a little bit. You know Jim a little bit. But obviously everybody's rooting for him. You know, we know him as the great radio voice of the Browns. He's done a magnificent job at that for years. He's been in the business for years. You know, what else can you say? I wish him all the best. I hope he gets well soon.
Yeah.
Leukemia is a hell of a battle, and hopefully he'll come out on top.
Yeah, this was a gut punch. I didn't see it live. I saw Twitter exploding with it a little bit, and I went and found the clip, and it was hard to watch Jimmy try and get through the telecast last night and talk about it. He knows what's ahead of him. Let me tell you, Jimmy Donovan is as good of a guy as he is a broadcaster, and tough as nails too. People don't realize how sick he was the first time around and just fought through it and kept showing up to do Browns games and kept showing up to go on the air. I texted him last night and told him everything that you would expect, you know, a friend to say, and told him go fight, win, and beat this thing again, and he will. I have full confidence that he will. He's so tough. It's incredible the way that he can battle this thing. I grew up watching Jimmy on TV. I was a teenager when he first came to Cleveland, and I told him, to teenage me, to be able to like have Jim Donovan's number and to text him and call him a friend. I've gotten to know him quite a bit over the last couple of years since I started being more involved in Browns coverage, and even back to my days on the Cavs. I just loved chatting with him at Browns practice, just about anything and everything. Just a terrific man, a family man, a husband, a dad. And Jimmy, we're praying for you. We're fighting for you. And go fight and win, buddy, because we know that you will.
You know, Jim, I worked with the Browns Radio Network before I was doing any on-air stuff. I was working with Jim doing the in-game broadcast. So I would produce, and we talk about going to break and just running the show doing that. And so he was always, always nice to me, always gracious to me. For a guy to be the voice of the Brown, you know, to call you out and to always congratulate you when, you know, he would see me doing shows or hear about me. So he was just always a super cool guy, an individual who, you know, is pretty much probably the biggest. Him and Tom Hamilton, we're kind of, you know, definitely, we are spoiled to have those caliber broadcasters. But prayers go out to his family, especially fighting this. He's beat it one time, I know I can't wait to, you know, hear Jay tomorrow kind of talk about it, because, you know, Jay has worked with him intimately at KYC for a long time. So prayers go out to Jimmy Donovan in his fight with leukemia, and we're just wishing and hoping for the best for him.
And as G said, you'll hear more about it. I mean, obviously everybody's talking about it right now. You'll hear more about it tomorrow when Jay is on. tomorrow's show. For now, we'll get to the lighter side of things and get to some sports.
Yeah, and we'll start with some Browns OTA observations. Jason was there yesterday, and those are brought to us by Jason's alma mater, Lorain County Community College. If you want to be like Jason Lloyd later in life, a curmudgeon with RBF at all times, but one of the best in the business at what you do, you should check out Lorain County Community College. Your class is your future. Register now for summer and fall classes. You can learn more at LorainCCC.edu for all that
information. What is the name of the sports teams, by the way, at Lorain County Community
College? Commodores.
Commodores. So, Jason, you were at OTS yesterday.
This is my resting bitch face, there so I'll smile. This is the only way I can smile.
Myles Garrett not there.
Yeah.
Any scuttlebutt about that at all? Is there any reason? Like, there's no...
No, I mean...
not any anger with the team or anything
I don't think
right?
so. I mean, next week's mandatory, so I assume he'll be there next week. I've said my piece on it. You know, I think G and I disagree on it. It's not about Myles. It has nothing to do with if Myles is going to be ready for the season. Of course Myles is going to be ready for the season. My only point is, if you're a leader of the team, you're a leader of the defense. We all know what's at stake this year. We all know how important this season is. It's a new scheme. It's a new defensive coordinator. Just show up. Just be there.
Yeah.
And I kind of cut him a little bit of slack last week thinking, okay, maybe he'll be there this week. Well, he wasn't here again. So, to me, that's not leadership. Yeah. Leadership is showing up and being there for your guys. I understand it's voluntary.
Yeah.
But if it's important for everyone else to be there, it should be important enough for you. I don't care that anyone else is missing. I don't care if they're there or not. He's the one, if you're the leader of the defense, you need to be there.
Well, Watson you'd care about. But
Watson, yeah, of course. Yeah, as the,
the offensive you disagree leader. On that. You don't care that he's not there.
Well, no, I think also, too, you know, he did have a toe injury. Like, you know, he did have an injury coming off the Pro Bowl. I don't know if I expect him to be fine. I just look at it, to me, it's not that big of a deal. It wouldn't be that big of a deal if he was there, to me, because, you know, at the end of the
day. But if you had your choice, be there or not be there, wouldn't you rather him be there?
Sure. You know, sure. If it was a perfect world.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I would like to have 100% attendance at these different things. But I also understand the game. You know, Jimmy Johnson once said, everybody, I'm going to treat you fairly, but everybody ain't equal. If Troy Aikman is in the back of the classroom and he's sleeping, I'm going to tell somebody to tap him on the shoulder and say, hey, wake Troy up.
Right.
But if you a fifth round pick or you an undrafted guy, I'm going to wake you up and tell you cut. At the end of the day, there's always levels to it. It's, you know, obviously, if you the more prominent of a name you have, the more productive you have, the more leeway you have. It's just that way in life in general. You know, I don't think it'll play any bearing on whether the Browns will win championships or win games this year. You know, would you like to see them there? Sure, pro coaches probably will, but I don't think they're even tripping on it.
Let's talk about some other things, Jason. We had heard last week maybe Deshaun Watson, his first OTA, wasn't the sharpest.
Didn't go well. Yeah.
How about yesterday?
He's better.
Better?
Yeah, he was better yesterday. I wasn't there last week, but from everyone I talked to, he was awful. Like, you can't overestimate how bad he was last week. Much better yesterday. Connected with Goodwin on a couple of deep balls. There's one of them right there.
Seemed to go through. Catch.
Yeah, it was a great catch. He hit him on an earlier deep ball in a game. I don't know. It was pretty slow developing. I don't know that it actually would have been.
Right. If that's it why he can't get carried away about any.
Right.
Stuff.
But but the throw is on target.
Yeah.
And that's what you're looking for right now. You know, in these 7-on-7 drills, and you know, we were talking with Mike about it last week, and he said it's sort of like a quarterback's pro day, and he's right.
Yeah.
And it's sort of like when Ohio State plays Youngstown State, you better win by 50. You better look good because there's no excuse not to. And he was better yesterday. He did throw the pick. He threw one into triple coverage. Jacob Phillips picked him off and took it back. So there's a couple things here and there. He missed a couple throws here and there. But for the most part, he looked significantly better than what the reports were last week. And that's really what I spent most of the time watching yesterday, was just Deshaun. That's the only thing I really wanted to see was how does he look? Where's the timing at? Is he hitting guys, particularly downfield? Alex Van Pelt talked after practice yesterday about chunk plays, throwing the ball down the field. It's something that's been missing. It's really a point of emphasis this year is driving the ball down the field and that those big play opportunities. And we saw that with Elijah Moore lining up all over the place in the slot outside. They're looking for opportunities to get him the ball, quick passes, let him create. I think that will translate. You're going to see that carry over into the season. It's just a speed weapon that really they haven't had before. And so just that's just another little curious thing to watch as this goes, is where does Moore really fit? He fits, But I'm just saying, where is the best use of his speed, and how do you just get the ball in his hands and let him go make a play?
Finally, Bull.
Some speed.
Finally, we got some speed. Now, when I was watching that play right there, you can always tell there's levels to this, man. This is chess, not checkers. This dude just split the defense and ran. Look at this. Look at it. Ran right past somebody. Now, we can say this is practice. It is practice on shorts or whatever the case may be. I get that. But when you watch the separation that this guy has, I'm like, finally, we got somebody that can run past somebody. Now, when we talk about the deep game, I'm going to compare this a little bit to the Guardians. We talk about all the time how difficult it is for the Guardians to string together hits and singles against power pitchers, dominant pitchers, to score runs. The Cleveland Browns are a lot like the Guardians of pass. When you watch the Browns offense, it was like pulling teeth to get chunk plays. 5-yard sit-down routes. Remember we used to say they go five wide just to throw a hitch to Hooper?
Yeah, right.
You're like, dude, what are we doing? Is that – we are opening a game with that? Now you talk about the emphasis is put on throwing the ball deep, spreading out the defense. You have to threaten people vertically in the league, not east and west, north and south, because once you can actually pinpoint and actually threaten those guys vertically – now all the other stuff opened up. Now you get to underneath routes. But when you consistently going underneath to these little aspirin tabs and these little check down Charlies, that look good. Your completion percentage looks great. But you're not going to win no games, them big games, when you talk about doing that. The Bengals and guys can, when they can hit Jamar Chase, that's devastating. Because now that's 7 instead of 3. Or they stop you later on in the drive.
Yeah, I mean, the big play has been missing from the Browns. That can make a huge difference. Obviously, it doesn't take a genius to know that big plays make it easier to score. I mean, you're going down the field quicker. The more plays it takes you to get down the field, the more chances of a penalty.
Yes.
Or a bad play that sets you back. Jason, going back to yesterday specifically, besides Deshaun Watson, was there anything of note that happened? I don't know. Anything.
The most curious thing, I think, was Denzel lining up in the slot on a number of occasions.
Okay.
And he said after practice that's something that will probably continue into the season. So that's just something. I mean, we always just sort of assumed that Newsom was going to be the slot corner. But
interesting. What?
Sure. I don't have a good explanation for you. Other than
Ward got paid already, so maybe he doesn't care.
I think it's a new defensive coordinator, and he just wants. I mean,
so you see things.
Schwartz was on the field
during
the plays. Like I've never seen that before. Like he was on the field, standing next to the center, while they were running the plays, and he said like, hey, he's new here. He wants to hear what they're saying.
Right.
He wants to make sure that he's
they're
very much
well.
Yeah,
and I like that.
Jim
That's
Schwartz.
Too, yeah.
Jim Schwartz like is very that. Much from. Listen, this is a very short amount of time we've had around him.
Yeah.
But he's a feel guy. Like he needs to feel it. He likes to feel it. He's already said he likes to be on the sideline.
Yeah.
And I like that. I like the defensive coordinator to be on the sideline because he said he wants to be able to communicate with guys and talk to guys.
Right.
And he wants, he said there's a difference when you look a guy in the eyes, you say, hey, can you cover him? Yeah, I got him. Or, yeah, I got him. And, like, you could just being there and being around them, touch and feel him. He's very much a touch feel kind of coordinator, which I think is good. And he could just be getting a look at Denzel in the slot. But that was one interesting thing that I noticed.
Aren't most DCs on the sideline?
A lot of them are, but not all of them.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine being in the.
I mean, it used to be back in the day, the OC was always upstairs and the DC was always on the field.
Right.
Now it's sort of
mixes
around.
The coach is the OC essentially. So Alex Van Pelt could be in the.
But Van Pelt's on the sideline.
Right, but in theory he could be.
I
think it's good for the guys, the coordinators, to be down there.
I like my coordinator. I like the offensive guy in a box because he can kind of see the field a little bit better. Like, he can get a bird's eye view, and he's, like, thinking about, okay, can I set this up over here? So, like, to me, standing on the sidelines is very difficult to see the game.
Yeah.
It's, like, no matter where you are, unless you want to walk 30 yards down that way and get the angle, but straight on in the 50-yard line, it's just you miss a lot of depth.
Obviously, Stefanski's on the field. Alex Van Pelt has been on the field in the past, and Drew Petzing, the quarterback's coach, was in the booth.
Yeah.
Now, I would assume AVP is still on the sideline, even though he's got both titles next year. So I don't know who on the offensive side will be the lead guy in the booth. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see.
What's up, Mike?
I want to throw one thing in there with the Denzel Ward in the slot and how Jim Schwartz talked about his approach to this defense next year. A, Ward got paid, and correct, isn't he the smallest of their three? Emerson's the biggest, but Ward is a little smaller than Newsom, right?
Mm-hmm.
So theoretically speaking, G, and I wish Tybus was here, we'll ask him on Wednesday, he would fit in the slot against opposing slot receivers, like physically matchup-wise better than the other two. Is that a crazy assumption?
Well, here's the problem. When you're in the slot, you got rim responsibility. Like you have leverage on these plays. Like you're in the run fit. Like, so if you're in the slot, you depending on that guy to come up and make tackles. Sometimes you blitz from that area. Sometimes you're going to have to cover physical guys out of the backfield, like running backs. You got to be able to tackle. So Denzel Ward to me is a guy that's been injury prone a lot. I think Schwartz, what he wants to do is he wants this to be, if say for instance you're lining up and you got a snapshot of your corners, and if opposing offensive coordinators understand, okay, when we go to this formation, Denzel Ward will be here.
Right.
That's too much. You giving away a lot of tendencies of where you want to line up for your strength, where you want to call the role the coverage to. So if he has an opportunity to play those three guys, and those three guys are going to interchange different positions, you don't really know what their responsibility is going to be. So it's better to just be able to line up anywhere. And a lot of times when you're running people on and off the field, what happens if you get lined up incorrectly? And Denzel Ward doesn't know any slot. So now he's like, oh, we're screwed here. So I think he's just trying to cross train, make sure that everybody has a little versatility. And especially when it comes to third down and confusing people and teams. And he does a lot of that, like talks about how you want to confuse people in terms of their blocking schemes and what they want to run. If you can have everybody locked in and dialed in and just saying, okay, we can all play everything. Everybody knows everybody else's assignments. That gives you an extra added bonus on defense.
That does make a lot of sense, that you want to be, everybody have the ability to be flexible to some degree. Plus, like, it used to be like when you were the slot corner, you were a backup. And now, really, the slot corner is a starter.
Schwartz plays at 2-4-5, so they're going to have three quarterbacks on the field most plays, I would assume.
I would think almost all the time, except for, like, goal line situations, fourth and inches, stuff like that.
The Patriots started doing something. The Patriots started running their number one receiver from the slot. So it was Amendola's. It was
Edelman.
And Julian Edelman. And then they actually started running Gronk in the slot and Hernandez in the slot, and which was really a problem because now you got big guys that are out there that are large and physical that can still block. So a lot of people run their number one receivers in the slot position. So what happens if they do that? Now you got Denzel Ward, who's getting $100 million out there on the guy. What if you want to follow him around? What if you want to lock him down one-on-one? So it's almost like before, your best pass rusher used to come from the blind side of the quarterback. Nowadays, people don't really necessarily mean anything.
Right, that's true.
They'll just do, I'll take Myles Garrett and put him on the other side if I feel like it.
Right.
And it's different now.
And one other thing worth mentioning,
yeah.
I forgot to mention off the top, we're talking about Deshaun. He did hit Elijah on a seam route in the red zone that Alex Van Pelt said made the hair on his arm stand up because they just haven't seen that from him to this point. Mm. Obviously, Watson struggled quite
a bit last
year. It
was this throw, right, Jason?
You do have the throw? Yeah, that was it.
He said gave him goosebumps.
Yeah, that
was
it.
Quote.
That was it. And
that's a throw that the Browns never make.
He fit it in a tight window, threw it over defender, just over a guy's hands. I didn't see who the defender was, but that is the throw. And he said that's what made the hair on his arm stand up, because we just haven't seen that yet out of Deshaun. And it's, you're starting to see it's coming. It's coming with him.
Again, it's practice. We don't want to go overboard. But that's the type of throw that, like, the great quarterbacks make.
Yeah.
And the rest
routinely.
The rest of the guys, and pretty much every Browns quarterback in their recent history, can't make that throw. Don't try to make that throw.
Right.
If they do, they get picked or
it
gets tipped or whatever. Like, because that's a throw that's got to be perfect.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if you make throws like that, that's where you get those chunk plays you're talking about. Because those are plays that you can get a lot of yards after the catch, because you're already cutting towards the middle of the field and you're ahead of the defensive back.
It was in stride, on target,
Yep.
and Moore did not break his gait to make that catch.
Right.
He's in the end zone there. had he been in the open field, that's a 15-yard pass that goes for 45, 50, right. maybe a touchdown, depending on where they
are. Yeah, and to G's point, it feels like, you know, even with Baker, who was better than all the scrubs the Browns had, but not good enough, like, it felt like every pass was like, we're falling down to catch it.
Yeah. Like, it's,
or we're going forward, going back towards the line to catch it.
Right.
You weren't here. You weren't here yesterday, Jason. What did you make of his comments when he said he doesn't know if the rest is done? He just says, I get 1% better each and every day. Did you have a problem with it? Or were you kind of shocked that like he didn't come out and say it? Or do you like the approach?
No, I think he's being honest. Yeah. I think he's not going to know until week one, really. Like, right. this looks good, and we can spend 5 minutes talking about a seam route on 7-on-7 drills and OTAs in May, mm-hmm. but we're not going to know until the helmets are on right. and it matters in September.
Yeah.
There's
no pressure here.
Because I'll tell you, he had some throws last training camp that we were like, wow.
Yeah.
Like, look at that.
Right.
And we didn't see any of that when he came, when it mattered.
Well, in training camp, you know you're not going to get hit. So right. that makes it a lot easier right. to throw the
but
ball.
But just the way, and I was one of them saying it, like, yeah. ball comes out of his hands different than it does right. everybody else. And it did. So, and that's why, like, this is great. This is great. But yeah. let's wait and see. We need to right. see it in September, too. And I think he's just being honest.
Yeah.
That he just doesn't right. know. And he won't know until he knows.
It gets you excited. But ultimately, it's all meaningless until the regular season. Because even in the preseason, okay, at least in the preseason, you can get hit. So right. that's on your mind. But teams are not scheming up for you.
No.
It's very vanilla. A lot of cases, you might be facing backup players who are not competing, you know, who are competing for backup jobs.
Right.
Until the game one against the Bengals,
the best we're look, not going to know. The best look between now and the Bengals is probably going to be the joint practices with the Eagles, frankly.
Right.
Because
but even in that, they don't hit the quarterback.
But it's the closest you get. It's a controlled chaos yes. type of
sure.
controlled fury, I guess. And yeah. I'm with you. I'm just saying that's even, I think, to me, a better gauge than the preseason of where things stand with him. But we won't know for sure until week one.
Real quick, G, are those open to the media?
The joint practices? Yeah.
We got to find a way to get out there.
Well, they're in Philly.
Yeah, yeah.
We got to find a way to get out. Steve Becker? Steve? You're from Philly? You like the Eagles? Steve? Just saying.
He doesn't live in Philly, though.
What'd he say?
He doesn't live
He's
in Philly.
He's got family in Philly. I'll sleep on Steve Becker's grandma's couch to be at those joint Packers.
That'd be fire.
Practices.
That'd be fire.
Me and G, road trip to Philly. Hey, staying at Steve Becker's
grandma. Steve Becker's grandma, if Steve has Whip a grandma it. Still, I hope he does.
Yeah, I just. She's no, like but he has family that old. Lives in Philly. I'm not sure who it is. He'll text us in about 30 seconds.
Aunt Ida. We'll stay with Aunt Ida.
I think that's when I'm on vacation, so y'all have fun.
Yeah,
I think
look, that's when we're going.
It's his mom, not his grandma.
When is it? What week?
I don't remember. I'd have to look it
last
up.
Last week
I don't
of July
remember.
Or something?
No. It's August. I actually think it is when we're on vacation. Like okay. August 5th that All week. Right.
Obviously you can't tell, but did you see a difference in anything, right? Like, it's like losing weight. Like you wait for somebody else to be like, hey, are you losing weight? Then you'd be like, okay, it's working. Like, but like, until you hear that, no, you gotta keep hit that gym. But with the Browns offense, did you see a difference, like, compared to, like, what you watched last? Like, is there some stuff you're like, wow, I haven't seen that play, or?
No, honestly, I wasn't even really looking. I was really just watching four. Mm-hmm. It's really the only thing I was watching the whole time the offense was on the field. I wasn't even watching when the backups were in. I can tell you DeJuan Jones is every bit as big as you think he is.
Yeah.
Just a massive
Eclipse
human being.
In the middle of the
He
summer.
Would make you look small,
Jim. Oh, listen, like, no, yeah. he's huge. No.
Yeah.
And there's not many people I'd be like, oh, yeah, he's crazy huge. No, he's really big.
Yeah, that's really a monster. Big. All right, guys, so yesterday, SI, I can't remember the name of the writer. Mike will tell us in a second. He put
Connor
out his,
Orr, right? Is it Connor Orr?
Connor Orr.
Oh, correct. Yeah, Connor Orr. Right. Connor Orr, who's one of the guys that, you know.
Who defends Hugh Jackson.
Defends Hugh Jackson, the worst coach ever.
There's still those guys out
there?
He
was one of the many that wrote a think piece about Deshaun Watson, how, you know, it's the worst thing ever that he's playing football. Did he do the same for Ben Roethlisberger? I don't know. I hate to be that guy. I shouldn't be. Anyway. But actually, I think he's a good writer and a good football guy. And he wrote, made 100 bold predictions for the upcoming NFL season. Now, Mike's going to read some of them to us, and we're going to tell you with our happy and sad faces. I got the G. Bush ones here.
Yes.
Whether or not we agree with them or disagree with them. But I read, I scanned through some and read all, I think all, I looked, at least scanned through most of them. And usually when people write articles about bold predictions, I'm like, none of these are bold. And I'm like, and it's annoying. But actually a lot of these were at least a little bold.
He went out on a limb on
something.
At least 60% were on a limb. Yeah. Somewhere very manila. So I picked, there was 100.
I mean, I don't know that his Super Bowl pick is that bold to pick.
We'll get to that. But that's on the list.
Anyway, go ahead, Mikey.
So there was 100.
Yeah.
If we did all 100, we would be here for 7 hours. So I picked 10. I picked all the ones pertaining to the Browns and a couple others I thought that we could have some fun with. So it's essentially buy or sell. If you're buying this bold prediction, happy face. If you are selling the bold prediction, give me the angry face. And you can get those faces if you are members in the YouTube chat. One of the perks of both tiers
Mario.
Of our membership program. You get the faces. So are you guys ready?
We got to add a mustache for me to these.
Give me a mark. Give me a Sharpie.
On, but then we'd be stuck with a mustache forever. So. And we do have some more roasts. We'll end the show with some more bowl roasts.
All right.
All right. First bold prediction from Connor Orr of Sports Illustrated involves one Deshaun Watson. Connor Orr predicts he will finish the season with a career high in rushing yards and touchdowns.
Are what you is his career high currently?
487.
I am not buying that.
Yeah, I'm not buying that.
I mean, we didn't pay him to just start coming around here doing his best Lamar Jackson thing. Like, we're not about to.
The Browns actually want to protect him.
Yeah.
They don't want him cutting loose.
No.
It's 551, my bad. Four, that was minus a game. So 551 is his career high.
Yeah, I'm not expecting him to have 600 yards.
Is he talking rushing touchdowns or passing touchdowns? I guess he's not really clarifying.
I think all rushing.
I think that's all rushing.
This is all rushing. Yeah, no, I'm not.
So that would mean 7 touchdowns and over 550 yards.
I mean, I think he'll have like 300 yards rushing.
Man,
which is a lot, a decent amount for a quarterback, but.
His speed on Madden is 80 or 81. It ain't even crazy like that.
Yeah.
That's my prediction this year for his speed. But
I'll tell you right now, the Browns are not turning Deshaun Watson into Jalen Hurts. Like, that's not happening.
No,
Jalen Hurts is a better athlete than Deshaun
He's
Watson.
Not. But I'm just saying, like, they have him. They call carries for him.
Yeah.
And that's
They're not doing that. Right.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
No, I Yeah. I agree 100% with you. He will run when if the play breaks down, he's got to scramble, and he'll have 250 to 300 yards.
I changed my mind on this one. He will have career numbers, touchdowns in the red zone. I think he'll get.
Well, what's his record, though? What is his most rushing touchdowns he's ever had?
Seven is the most he ever had.
He's
going to
have 8 rushing touchdowns?
I think when things break down, he will run.
But in the red zone, when the quarterback's. I'm giving the ball to Nick Chubb. What the hell am I going to. I don't want Washington.
You predicted 43 touchdowns in the air, 8 touchdowns on the ground. If your predictions hold true, they're going to score 69 points a game.
That's a lot.
Nice.
8 rushing touchdowns, I said.
Plus 43 in the air, plus the 17 for Nick Chubb you called.
That's 68 touchdowns.
I didn't give Chubb 17. I gave Chubb about over 15, though.
Over 15 to 17?
Or 16.
At least 16.
I got him with the 8 touchdowns, and my knees is out today, already know what it was.
Yeah, that's true. All right, Mikey.
Listen, if he does, we are all celebrating.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
We can all agree Nick Chubb's the best running back in football. But according to Connor Orr of Sports Illustrated and his bold predictions.
I don't know that he's definitely the best running back in football. I don't think that's necessarily accurate.
That's because he doesn't get the ball enough.
Well, he gets the ball plenty. But he's not.
Like, that's not the bold prediction.
Is he the best, like, just runner? Like, he's not the best running back.
I think he's the best running back.
Yeah, but they're like. A guy like Christian McCaffrey does a lot more.
Listen, his screen passes, Christian McCaffrey, give me Nicholas Chubb.
Didn't you see the PFF simulation that had him catching 70 passes for 700 yards and 8 touchdowns yesterday?
You didn't see that? Plus a record-breaking year with touchdowns?
Yeah.
Nick Chubb is ready to go.
He's one of the best running backs.
He's cocky now. He don't even show up to stuff
true.
No
yeah,
more.
Yeah, yeah. Go ahead.
He was second in the league in rushing last year.
Right.
According to Connor Orr of Sports Illustrated.
All right.
Ramondre Stevenson of the New England Patriots will lead the NFL in rushing this year. Buying that? Selling that?
I am not.
No.
And I like Ramondre Stevenson.
I like him.
He's very, very good.
Has the Patriot ever led the league in rushing?
That's the thing. He gives it to a lot of different guys.
Right.
They have they got rid of the other guy they had there last year, but they have Ty Montgomery, who they're going to use in the passing game. They got all these – they draft a running back every year. They don't have a lot of big names, and I do think Ramondre Stevenson will have a higher percentage of carries than most Patriot running backs.
Sorry, I'm dying over here.
Don't. that would be a step up for me throwing up.
Yeah, it would.
It's something about that end chair.
Woo! Yeah. All right.
Yeah, I'm all right. Okay. I'm good.
I think he could end up certainly in the top 10, maybe top 5, but I can't put him number 1.
First time I've ever drank coffee down my windpipe.
Rule number 1, never pick anybody from the New England Patriots when it comes to prediction of stats or fantasy.
Yeah.
They will get you lost. They will take your money. You will get dominated in the last week, and you'll lose if you won the whole year. Right. Because they're going to spread it out. Spreadonomics.com. I think Bill Belichick goes and looks at the stats and says, ooh, you had a really great game last game. Yeah. You'll get 6 carries. Two carries this game. You're like, but Bill, what happened? Yeah. They don't play that.
Yeah, yeah. I do think he will have more than most Patriot guys. But in the end, also another thing with the Patriots, I don't think they're very good. I think their quarterback stinks. I think there'll be a number of games where they're behind.
And they're throwing the ball.
Yeah.
And good luck throwing with Mac Jones and Bailey Zappe. Although they kicked the Browns' ass last year.
Yes, they did.
Bailey Zappe.
Hey, I forgot about that game.
Yeah, we're gonna bury that game.
Yeah, let's go.
I forgot all about
that. Next one from Connor Orr of Sports Illustrated.
Yeah,
Joe Burrow will win his first MVP award. Buying or selling?
I almost feel like I shouldn't vote on these Bengal ones. I'm gonna say yes,
and I'm gonna say yes because. See, the way writers do it, Jason will tell you, this was Jason Lloyd told me.
What?
Just blame it on Jason Lloyd. No. This is the way, you know the way this works, right? If you have not got the MVP and it's kind of like you're really good and they give it to Patrick Mahomes every year, they're going to have a consensus where it's Joe's time. It's just Joe's time. He's been behind Patrick Mahomes. He's been to the Super Bowl. If he has a really good year this year, I think people are going to get fatigued of saying Patrick Mahomes the MVP, even though I can say he's the best player every single year. I do think Joe Burrow would have won
MVP. Joe Burrow's, like, in Vegas, what are the odds? Is he the second choice, the third choice right now? That's not that bold a prediction. He's the third choice. Who's second? Allen?
Allen.
Yeah. I'd like Burrow over Allen. I'm kind of down on Allen after last year, and I was a big Josh Allen guy.
Yeah, I know. Didn't you draft him?
But yeah, I did. But as long as Patrick Mahomes is still in the league, hey, that's my MVP.
Yeah, it's hard to bet against it, but you know, I'll do it anyway. If he's the third favorite in Vegas, that's not a bold.
That's
choice.
Not bold.
Hey, boy, you got
Tua Tagovailoa. You got to put it up higher. His MVP is a bold
prediction.
You got to
put it up higher. I co-signed this move, so Bull is just not a Bengals homer.
Yeah.
Look, see.
Thank you. There you go.
By the way, Corey Dillon did run for 1,635 yards in New England, but it did not lead the league in rushing. He finished third.
Yeah.
Wow.
All right, next one.
Dang.
Bull, this is the Bull special.
Mm.
Your favorite, Baker Mayfield, will throw for 16 touchdowns this year.
Nah.
No chance.
Nah.
Now, I will say this. He's got two awesome receivers.
Hold on.
I'm buying it.
I don't think he's going to play enough to throw 16 touchdowns.
Do you see who his competition is? Who else are they going to put there?
Do you see how bad he's been?
Do you see who else they have? They have no choice.
But
that's less than a touchdown a game.
Even if he starts, I don't think he's going to play 16 games because he'll get hurt or something will happen. I say he plays like 10 games and has 11 touchdowns.
Okay. I can't believe I'm now defending Baker. I was as hard on him as anyone.
No, geez, on with.
But I between the talent that they have on offense and the fact that they have trash at the quarterback position, if he's healthy, I think he's their starter.
But they don't have much of the running game.
That's okay. We're talking about touchdown throws.
I know that, but like if you're they were the most one-dimensional team in the league last year with Tom Brady, and it didn't work. If they're trying to be one-dimensional with Baker Mayfield, they're going
to
suck.
I'm not picking the Bucs to make a deep playoff run. I just think he can throw less than one touchdown
a game.
More
touchdowns or picks for Baker?
We didn't talk about that. Probably more picks.
Yeah. He might throw 16 touchdowns, 18 picks, but I'm just saying, though.
Yeah.
He got Mike Evans.
All right, I'm going I got him with like 11 touchdowns. You know, he's not going to get much more than 16 if he gets 16.
No, probably not.
Not 20.
He
could get 16. If he plays the whole season – I think he'll finish right around 16, but I'm predicting he doesn't play the whole season.
I got him. He could get 16.
Okay.
They got good receivers.
The next comes back to our Cleveland Browns. Connor Orr of Sports Illustrated predicts the Browns will acquire DeAndre Hopkins.
Not bold.
They are also one of the three favorites, so similar to the okay, Burrow one.
So
I hope that happens.
So look, no. I had it at about maybe 15-20% that it happened. Maybe these folks on the internet is talking it up to a point where now I kind of it makes a little more sense. I still think it's most likely he won't, but it's up to about 40% that they can get him. I don't. If they get him, I would be like, yo, you know what? The Browns really went out and did it.
Yeah. I will say this that goes in the Browns' favor. I heard Albert Breer on my old radio show yesterday. Yesterday was Dustin and Chris Fedor. And Albert Breer said that DeAndre is all about the money. It's not about winning.
Yeah,
he only cares about the money. And so this idea that he may take less. Now, Albert could be wrong. But in his mind, this idea that he's going to take less to go play for Kansas City is not happening.
And that gives the Browns a better chance. $10.9 million in cap space at 4 p.m. today with the official post-cap cuts of John Johnson III. And
who's got more cap space than the Browns? Anybody that has a need that might go for that?
You sent me the tweet this morning. Let me pull it up real quick. And I think the Panthers or the Dolphins have more than the Browns, and that's
it. But
the Dolphins don't need a receiver.
That tweet I sent you was just additional cap space, I think.
Then let me double check on
that.
I know the Browns have with this extra $10.9 million they're opening up.
Hey.
That gives them more than Buffalo and or Kansas City can offer without completely restructuring
Dallas
some
has
major
some money.
Contracts.
The Giants may have some money.
Jason, this is so funny. If there's one thing I will give these analytics people in the front office and D Podesta and all of them, man, they be running Ponzi schemes with this salary cap. Browns just keep signing people.
Well, but
it's a Ponzi scheme. I don't understand it.
But you can roll your number over year to year, and the Browns haven't had come anywhere near the cap for how many years?
Right.
Like they've just been rolling and rolling.
Well, they had nobody worth signing for many years.
Right.
And now they have.
Right.
And they don't have any other big contracts coming up.
But
so.
I think this is their last year of enjoying this willy-nilly freewheeling spending because, I mean, you're paying Amari Cooper $23 million next year, and if you cut him, it's still $11 million against your cap. You're paying John Johnson next year on your cap, and he's not even here.
Yeah.
So there is some tolls coming on this cap. But for right now, they can still make it work. I still don't think – I think it's a no for now.
Yeah.
But the longer he's out there, I think the Browns' chances increase, the longer that this goes.
Right. Well, that means that some teams are not willing to spend the money.
Yeah.
Right.
And would that change your
– if he's still out there 10 days from now, I think there's probably a pretty good chance he could be
And if they do get him, does that change your outlook on where the Browns' ceiling is?
I mean, yeah. Maybe you had an – Is what's he worth? Is he worth one win? Is he worth two wins? I think he's probably worth one win.
I think he's worth a win. I said it last night. He's officially worth one win.
Yeah.
And not many players are worth an entire win. I think he is worth an entire win.
By the way, I know we were going to do this later, but I kind of feel like we should play the Greg Cosell clip.
Yeah,
because it's talking about DeAndre
Anthony, pull up the Cosell thing. This is on Hopkins. That's a good point, but we'll play this. We'll take a pause from the bowl predictions.
We'll
we have five more. We'll get back
to
it.
So let me just set it up. So Greg Cosell, who is the guy in terms of studying the film, he works for NFL Films. He's the man when it comes to this. He was on the Ross Tucker podcast. Ross, the former NFL player. Mm-hmm. Most people that follow football know who Ross Tucker is. And he was asked about, like, what DeAndre Hopkins is at this point as a player. And here we go.
Oh, I still think that he's a quality receiver. He's a certain kind of receiver. He's not truly a vertical dimension. He's a tough, physical receiver who knows how to separate at the top of his route stem, creates just enough space to be able to make catches. He's really good in the short to intermediate areas. He certainly can help a team. You know, obviously he's very physical. He's got great hands. He can help any team. You just have to understand what he is. You're not signing DeAndre Hopkins because you want a big play vertical receiver. You're signing DeAndre Hopkins because he can be a chain mover. He can also be a sustainer if you want to throw a lot on first or second down.
All right, there you go. I mean, none of that, you know, that's kind of all what we knew. But you know what? After I saw that video, I thought about another team that would actually make a lot of sense for DeAndre Hopkins. And I think one of you guys, might have been Mike, just dismissed this team as a possibility. But I actually think the Miami Dolphins, think about it. They have two excellent receivers, but those guys are both speed
vertical
guys,
threats.
Vertical threats down the field. If you added a big possession receiver,
I agree
like
with
DeAndre
you.
Hopkins,
when you said Miami, my internal little flag popped up.
Because who's the rest of their receivers there?
Is that a thing?
Tyreek Hill, Jalen. I mean, they got a bunch of little guys, little speed.
No,
guys.
No, I'm saying besides Jalen Hill and besides Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. Like, who are the rest of it? They don't have anybody else, right? It's like they got two awesome guys.
Man, stop saying that, man.
I don't want it to happen.
I'm sick.
But, like, I think he'd be a really good fit there.
I think if they got DeAndre Hopkins, I would have to put them over the Bengals as far as the best receiving core.
They have. You ready?
Yeah,
oh,
I agree.
They just get smaller and smaller. You ready?
Yeah.
Cedric Wilson Jr., 5'9", 185.
Yeah.
Braxton Berrios, small slot, quick guy. Robbie
an
Chosen and River Kirkcraft.
River Phoenix?
That's the river.
Have you guys ever heard of River Kirkcraft?
No. There's only one other river, and he lives in Phoenix.
He's in his fourth season.
Never heard of him.
Never.
Those guys are all slappies.
Yeah.
So you know what? He would actually make a lot of sense. I think they do have cap space.
And that's the crazy thing about the AFC is because it's not like if you don't get him, he goes off to the NFC or something. No,
he might, but
it's the Chiefs,
yeah.
It's the Bills, it's the Browns, it's the Dolphins. Like, okay, Dallas might look at him, but like, man, if you don't get him, you gotta play the guy. Like, for me, I don't like that Dolphins scenario because I'm like, man, the Dolphins to me already made the playoffs. I guess it's all about Tua being healthy, but I like their roster. And like I said, I would have to put them as the best receiving core. They got two guys.
They would pass the Bengals if they added Hopkins. I agree. All right, Mikey, let's get to the next bold prediction. Hopefully it is actually bold by Connor Orr.
This one, it's lukewarm. We'll put it that way.
All right.
According to Connor Orr of Sports Illustrated, the Chargers will make the best remaining signing of free agency, which means over DeAndre Hopkins, by nabbing John Johnson III.
I don't even agree with the premise. And why would you even mention that one? Like, who gives a rat's ass where John Johnson ends up? What? Is there a single person that read that article and said, that's an interesting nugget? No, not a single person.
You know? I only included it because it's somehow tied to the Browns.
Yeah.
By the way, I think John Johnson will play better next year. I think Joe Woods was so terrible that he just basically rolled the ball out there and said, hey, guys, go get him. Go get him, Tiger.
Yeah.
I think if by the way, he's a box safety. He's not no deep third safety. He should have been around the line of scrimmage more. I thought he was playing out of position. He'll play better, but by no way, shape, or form is he the best remaining free agents.
Now, I guess technically he says the best signing. He doesn't have to be the best player.
I mean, kind of under the circumstances. Yeah. I half agree with this and half don't. I don't know about the Chargers part. I'm not going to pretend I know the Chargers defensively.
Yeah.
But John Johnson might be the best available player left in free agency. I'm a little surprised he's still out there.
See, I don't agree with that. I think DeAndre Hopkins is better.
Well,
he just came around.
I think even though he's in decline, I think Zeke Elliott's better.
No.
I think Kareem Hunt's better.
I'll give you Hop, not those other two.
I'll give you Hop.
He has to play in the right system.
He was terrible with the Browns. Maybe he'll be better somewhere else. I don't know. Aren't there some veteran D linemen still out there too?
I know.
Is Ndamukong Suh still
Frank
out there?
Clark?
Yes.
Is Ndamukong Suh
and Carmelo Anthony?
Is Ndamukong Suh the defensive version of Chubb needs to get the ball more?
No, he's the football version of Carmelo Anthony.
Well, Carmelo's in that same mix too. Like if you say what you need
Frank
to
Frank Clark's still out there though.
Frank Clark, Sue. Yeah. Clowney. I know we don't want him here, but
Clowney's another
Clowney's
one
washed.
Good. Yeah, he's
washed.
Hey. But I don't think John Johnson's any good.
I'll die on that hill. He may not be a three-down defensive end anymore, but he's going to help a team sometime this postseason.
I like Clark. I like him.
So, anyway, I disagree with that one. Go ahead.
All right, speaking of defensive ends, according to Connor Orr of Sports Illustrated, Myles Garrett will win the Defensive Player of the Year.
He better, so I'm going yes. I'll say this. If Myles Garrett does not win Defensive Player this year, I don't think he'll ever win it.
This is his tier. They'll give it to him this year.
Whereas if he wins it this year, I could see him winning it a few more times. But I feel like if he doesn't win it this year, he's already great. It's by far the best talent they put around him. He's got to win it this year.
He's going into year what? What year is this?
Seven? Six?
Seven?
I believe seven. He was drafted in 17, so.
Yeah, 7 years, seven.
Yeah, he better win it this year.
Right.
And he's got enough talent around him now, you would think.
There's no excuse.
I'm going to say yes. he better.
Aaron Donald is diminished a little bit. But watch out for what's it at? Micah Parsons, bro. Micah Parsons might mess
around.
He's
the real deal.
And get 20 sacks, and then he'll just jump you. I think he'll win it because Schwartz is going to challenge him to play more consistently in the run game, even though he's a good defender there.
Part of the reason the Browns brought Jim Schwartz in was they thought he was the best defensive coordinator candidate to get the most out of Myles Garrett. Garrett and Jim Schwartz are very much tied together with that.
Let me ask you something else, guys. This is going to blow up the rest of the segment. I apologize, Mike. Excuse me. But.
Get out.
What's that?
Get out.
You cough. Get out.
I'm not sick. I'm not sick.
I just got tuberculosis.
No, it's allergies. I was just busting your balls earlier. You mentioned Aaron Donald.
Are you going to bring up an Aaron Donald trade here?
If the Browns can throw.
Yes.
If the Browns got this money.
Yes.
And you're deciding between Hopkins and Donald.
Hot tub trade
machine. You can't bring them both in.
Is that even a question?
If you had to get one of the two, Aaron Donald, we don't know what he's got left in the tank. He didn't play much last year.
It's Aaron Donald, man.
Who you want?
Yeah, it's Aaron Donald.
It's Aaron Donald, bro. You don't think he can hit that button? I'm Aaron Donald again. You can't talk.
What's the take? I mean, the Rams probably aren't going to be good this year.
I don't know what they have left draft compensation. I have to look and see. I don't know what he would. He's not the Aaron Donald of old, but you're not going to get him for 2/5.
For the record, he played 11 games last year, so almost half a season.
Yeah.
Had 5 sacks and 50 tackles in 11 games. So he was on pace for a 9-sack, 80-tackle
season.
And
where was he PFF grade-wise?
I'll look at PFF in a second. That's significantly an upgrade over anyone they had. And I don't think – I mean, it's not a typical Aaron Donald season. He had 20.5 sacks in 2018, 12.5, 13.5, 12.5. That dropped to 5.
Yeah, but he's not elite anymore. But he's still good.
Pretty damn good.
Hey, listen.
How many years left on his contract? Hey, he's getting paid a crap load of money. I mean,
to me
– he had a 90 PFF grade last year. So.
Come on. To me –
that is actually elite.
To me – there's certain people that are going to be elite until they leave, until they retire. Look, think about it. Tom Brady threw for 5,000 on the way out. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Aaron Donald is going to be 99 on Madden. He's going to be a 99 in my book. Lawrence Taylor was always good. Lawrence Taylor was never bad in my book.
What's his contract look like at this point, Mike?
Give me one sec. He's making a lot of money.
But how many years is it? Like, are you locked in for 3 years? Because, like, you really only want him for one more year, probably.
Well, he's threatening to retire a few times, so let me see.
Yeah, who knows if he'd even want to play anywhere
else. So he signed a 6-year, $135 million deal. Once this loads, I could tell you. Of course, the internet wants to crack down right now.
He's actually underpaid, to be truthful. Like, I think Myles Garrett got, what, 125?
Right, but at this point, Myles Garrett's better than Donald, no?
Yes.
I got you.
Yeah.
You ready, Bull?
Yeah.
So his base salary is $13.5 million this year with an $8 million signing bonus. So his cap hit this year is $26
million. Okay.
His cap hit next year, which he either has to retire, but he's getting paid next year one way or another, $34.2
million.
And then you can get out of it after that with 2 voided years. But,
he's going to retire.
Yeah, the problem will be next year, a $34 million cap hit for an old defensive tackle.
Yeah.
He'll be 33.
And they're already going to be in cap hell.
That's part of the risk. But can you imagine how good their defensive line would be if they added Aaron Donald?
They should not.
They would then have the best D-line in the NFL.
Yeah, they would. They should not lose.
I don't know if that's even realistic.
No.
I don't know.
Browns, get the camera on me here. You're all in. You're pot committed like a degenerate. Get in, trade for Aaron Donald.
How did we get to
sign DeAndre Hopkins?
Time machine.
Doing both. F the salary cap, push it off for a few years. Jimmy will probably get indicted a few years from now, allegedly. I mean, it's not. There's nothing out there. I'm kidding. At least not yet. Who knows what he's been up to the last decade?
I'm telling you.
You got to trade for Donald, give up some third-round picks, whatever the hell it is.
I had nothing to do with this.
And then sign DeAndre Hopkins. Let's go. Is the goal to have the best team possible, or is the goal to look at the salary cap?
Hey, we need to
F the salary cap. Jimmy Haslam's a freaking billionaire. He just pissed away money on the stupid Milwaukee Bucks. He ruined that team. They couldn't win after he added in there. He's paying.
He's been there 20 minutes.
Nah,
he ruined
him. Right. He's buying some soccer team in Columbus. The Crew. Everybody loves him. Anthony's a big fan.
Steve, can you give us? Can you give us?
Let's go.
Can you give us?
Spend more money on the Browns. I want Donald. I want Hopkins. And you know what? That's it. That's all I got to say about it.
Steve, can you give us the I don't want to get indicted voice? I don't know.
Are the Browns a better team with those two players?
I have nothing to do with this.
Yes.
Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes or no? Gee, how are you not on my side of this?
It's not realistic.
Yes, it is. It's not realistic.
You pulled Aaron Donald out of the sky.
Wait a second. You're right. It's not realistic because don't we've all things. Conned ourselves into believing that billionaires can't spend over the cap. That's how dumb we are. See, in this country, we're all stupid. The billionaires know we're stupid, so they convince us to feel bad for them that they won't spend money. Jimmy Haslam has more money than everybody, okay? Than everybody else in Cleveland combined.
How do we
get here? So they could go way over the cap. Tell me why they can't do it.
How do we get here, boo?
Let me tell you something. You are always saying sign, no cap, who cares?
I know. But
Jason
brought
into the narrative that it's not realistic. And he's right in that the fact that it won't actually happen. However, there's no reason it couldn't happen beyond the fact that the Browns, like every other team, will be gutless and not do it.
He just pulled it out of the sky like Bluetooth. Hey, Aaron Donald is now in the trade market.
Where are we? What planet is this?
Do you not want to win? Jason doesn't care about winning enough. Neither
we
Jimmy
have two more
one.
Bold predictions to get to, so we are going to get back.
That's a bold prediction. I'm like this. I should write an article instead of this
cucumbers.
Slappy. Write
I need
this
to put
article.
Cucumbers on my eyes.
Connor Orr, oh, my God. The Browns did an unforgivable move, trading for Deshaun Watson. Unforgivable. Eight other teams
nonsense.
Wanted to trade for him, Connor Orr. Take it down a notch.
What are we even doing now?
Connor, maybe this or maybe that.
Jimmy Haslam, stop being a big wuss and go make these moves. Stop effing around here.
Bold prediction number eight. You made
a draft pick based on a homeless guy. I think you could freaking do this.
I'm reeling bull
speaking
back in.
Of which, speaking of which, yesterday I dropped off my wife at the hospital. I make a left turn on Euclid out of the University Hospital parking lot, and there's a woman, a large woman. It's all right, I'm a large man. This large woman is slowly walking across the street. She turns around, and her gigantic boobs were out. They were out, G. They were like Z cups, and they were out. Jason's trying to be above it right now. I saw a woman walking with her boobs out, Jason.
My wife said call me as soon as the show ends. I might just call her now. I think it's over.
And that rant brought to you by Bull is from the USFL. The USFL is fun, family-friendly
event.
Everybody. You get tickets for $10. They are home with Boogie Roberts the next 3 weeks. Check him out at USFL.com.
Why is this woman crossing the street with her giant boobs hanging out? Can somebody tell me that? Give me an answer.
Mustache
Bull is different.
Mustache Bull
cannot
be contained. Will not be contained.
Loose cannon.
Not realistic. Make these freaking moves. And I'll stop talking about giant boobs.
We had a whole. Yeah. I'm gonna pull back the curtain before we get to these last three. Yeah. I sent a rundown last night. Bull was like, I'm sick of talking about the Cavs. I don't want to talk about the Cavs. Let's change topics.
Yeah.
We could have put anything in there with this rant and this topic. This segment taking way longer than anticipated.
Yeah.
We would have talked Cavs anyway, Bull. So.
F the Cavs. I don't care. The Cavs are meaningless. Cavs basketball is meaningless until the middle of April. True or false? Of next year.
It's not meaningless.
Meaningless. 100% meaningless.
Well, don't tell that to the ticket department. They still have a lot of tickets.
Listen to me again. Get the camera on me again. Don't spend money on Cavs tickets. Don't go to the games. The regular season doesn't matter. I'm sorry. It's dereliction of duty, but I will not watch a single Cavs game until the playoffs next year.
That's a lie. Yes, you will.
I refuse to watch a game.
All right, clip this because yes, you will.
Lock it in. The regular season is meaningless. Okay.
If they make a trade, will you watch?
If they make a trade for a significant player, I'll consider it. Okay. If they don't, if it's the same team with a bunch of different doofuses on the bench, then I'm not watching a game all year.
What if they win 12 in a row?
Don't care. What does it mean?
What if somebody gets hurt?
I don't care if they win 60 games, win the playoffs.
Not 1 second. You won't watch one second. Not 1 second.
No.
Not 1 second.
No.
Not one tip-off. All right.
Till the playoffs. Then
clip it.
The
I'm going to hold you to this.
We are clipping that. It is officially noon, and I am officially bringing us back on track here to get us through the rest of this segment and a little bit of some other stuff before we have Wayne Randazzo, who's calling the Guardians game on Friday, join the program. But it is lunch hour, and that means it is time to tell you guys who sponsors the lunch hour, and that is Call It Companies Championship, July 12th through the 16th at the famous Firestone Country Club. You can check out all your favorite golfers. They have fun, family-friendly events for everybody, including concerts every night and free admission for kids. Check them out at colleaguegolf.com. Okay, back on track after that debacle. Whatever that
Why was that a debacle?
It doesn't matter.
What I was saying next about the Browns was totally true.
Mute his mic,
Let's
Steve.
Just leave
mute
it there.
His mic. Next bold prediction. Trevor Lawrence will become the 10th quarterback ever to pass for more than 5,000 yards in a season.
No. They're going to be a balanced team. He's still a young player. I think he has a really good year, but I don't think he has over 5,000 yards.
No, he ain't going to get no stacks like that.
I'm not, I'm not on the Trevor Lawrence bandwagon as much as I think some other people
really?
Are. I think he's good. I think he's good, but
I just got they got really good wide receivers. Remember, they have Calvin Ridley now.
Yeah,
I just didn't see the like when people was like, "Yo, it's the trend," you know, generational talent, and he's pretty good. But I mean, I don't see like
as a great playoff win. That was a great win. Yeah. I want to take that from him.
Yeah,
Chargers also kind of bowled themselves all over the garbage can.
But here's what I will say. Hold on, I might have to take this back. He's still not going to get them five stacks.
Yeah.
But I will say this. I'm going to say this. If that was Deshaun Watson and he did that against Justin Herbert, what would we be saying?
Oh, if you didn't kiss his ass every moment, fans would be annoyed.
What we talk about? I can't knock him. I'm going to keep it 100. Like, that's a nice win against a nice team. And under those circumstances, and then played decent in Arrowhead. So, I mean,
they were in that game.
Yeah,
I mean, as a big, they were probably a double-digit underdog.
Trajectory is going up, but I do not believe he's getting 5,000, and I don't think that they're going to make any waves or noises this year. I think they dropped.
Yeah, but they're going to. But the thing is, they're still going to win that division though, because that division sucks.
Yeah, it does suck.
Yeah, it does. I can't even.
Who's going to win that division? The Titans? The Colts? Who's the other
Colts team? Starting a rookie quarterback. Titans are a mess.
And who's the other team? Who am I forgetting?
Texans.
Yeah, they ain't.
Yeah, you're right.
The Jaguars could go 8-9. They'll still.
I shouldn't say the Titans are a mess. The Titans are not a mess, but I'd probably pick the Jaguars.
But they're on the decline.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Jaguars could finish 8-9. They'll still win that division probably. Yeah. But I think
they did last year.
Right.
8-9.
They'll be better, but I mean, I like Trevor Lawrence, but go ahead.
All right, next one. These are some advanced analytics and statistics, so I'll break this down in the simplest term possible.
Yeah.
Kenny Pickett will finish as a top 12 quarterback in terms of efficiency next year.
Stop it. Just stop it.
Buy or sell. This is from Connor Orr, not me.
If Kenny Pickett played for the Browns, Connor Orr would say he was the stupidest draft pick ever. And it probably would be.
Not if Hugh Jackson drafted
most
him.
Of the quarterbacks that the Browns draft suck ass.
If Hugh Jackson drafted him, he'd love
him. Is he still defending Hugh Jackson?
He and I went at it when I was filling in last summer because he wrote some stupid thing on Hugh, and he and I just went at it on
Hugh
the radio.
Jackson is getting –
Really?
Yeah.
Hugh Jackson is getting pounded at Grambling right now. What are you talking about?
He's catching strays.
He's getting disrespect. He's getting pounded still at Grambling. He's talking about, like – This is that we have a body of work at all levels for Hugh Jackson, and it is not very good. No, Kenny Pickett is not.
I'll never forget we were at training camp once, and Hugh Jackson was coming on to be interviewed by Dustin and I.
Mm-hmm.
And Hugh said, "Oh, you're the guys who have been killing me. And I was like, "Well, what do you want us to say? I mean, like, what? You suck. You've won one game in 2 years.
Yeah.
What
am I supposed to say?
We're all-time bad right
now, right?
Like, don't you know that?
Yeah, I mean, Hugh Jackson's a terrible coach. Is it my fault he's shitty at football? I don't know.
Pickett right here is like, it just seems like the Pittsburgh Steelers believe that, like, oh, we're the Steelers. You should give us the benefit of the doubt on our medium quarterbacks. This guy's medium sauce.
As a franchise, they've been medium sauce for a while now,
yeah.
And they'll remain medium sauce. Did anybody say yes to Pickett?
No. I don't think he's terrible, but he's not going to be top 12.
No, I don't think he's terrible, but I think he's like Baker. I mean, I think he's in that level of player.
Is he Ryan Tannehill? I think he's Ryan Tannehill.
Or Tannehill. Same thing.
Probably.
Like. That's or
probably.
Andy Dalton. I think it's like.
Yeah. Those guys are better than Baker.
Yeah.
He's perfectly mid.
I mean, it's just like. When you have a guy like that, you're always trying to find a better guy.
Yeah.
I think that's what they'll eventually
I don't like his face mask or number either. Like, it's just not. Look, yeah. You just know you hate when you just start bringing. I don't like your shoulder pad height. I don't like those either. Mm.
All right, Mikey, what do we got next?
Last one.
Oh.
Final prediction from Connor Orr of Sports Illustrated. The Bengals will defeat the 49ers in the Super Bowl.
The third time they played.
Joe Montana against Boomer Esiason.
That's crazy.
Well, the first was Montana against Kenny Anderson.
Kenny Anderson.
And then it was Montana against Boomer.
I don't remember the Kenny Anderson one. I do remember the Boomer.
I do remember the Kenny Anderson one. I was 11.
The Bengals may get to the Super Bowl. I'm not going to lie. They may get there. I mean, that's not a bold prediction. They've been to the Super Bowl and lost an NFC Championship game 2 years in a row. So that's not a bold prediction. But the 49ers and their quarterback, I like their roster. But I just don't think you could just throw anybody back there and just get it done.
I think what we're going to find out this year is Brock Purdy, I'm not going to say Tom Brady, but is he the next excellent quarterback that came out of nowhere as a late pick?
Would you say?
Because he wasn't like Jimmy Garoppolo had success there, but he wasn't putting up big numbers. Brock Purdy was putting up big numbers there. And I know he got hurt. And they traded up for Trey Lance. But if Brock Purdy's healthy, isn't he your starter?
Yes.
Why would you start Trey Lance? Trey Lance hasn't
done
anything.
They've said that, by the way.
Yes, but I don't know that he's healthy.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's going to be healthy, at least not for the start of the year.
Right. Yeah, that's what I'm saying if. But I don't know. If Brock Purdy is the quarterback we saw last year, they're probably the best team in football.
Do you
because I think they have, minus quarterback, they have the best roster.
Do you trust him?
No, I don't yet, but, you know, if he plays.
It's
like,
a small sample size.
It is.
Shanahan is great at making medium quarterbacks, like, who don't really throw the ball with a huge skill set, look great.
I disagree. I think he makes them look better.
He had Brian Hoyer looking. Brian Hoyer was looking crazy first few games.
But none of these quarterbacks have looked as good as Purdy last year. Now, again, he's got to do it for a full season. I agree. He's got to prove it. But I'm saying if he proves it, they're very dangerous.
Oh, yeah. The rest of with
and it's an easier path in the NFC getting to
their
the Super
roster
Bowl.
Is loaded.
I don't want to pick the Bengals to win the Super Bowl. I just don't. I think obviously they can, but I don't know. I'm not really superstitious, but I just kind of don't want to pick them.
You're like, that's a jinx. Because if you say they are going to win, your timeline's going to be crazy the rest of the year.
I don't know. Yeah, they could. But certainly that's not a bold prediction.
But at the end of the day, like, I think that's what we all take. Like, that's where the Browns want to get. Like, if you say, all right, who's going to win the Super Bowl this year? If somebody picks the Browns, you want to get to a point where your roster and people feel like, oh, well, that's not a stretch. Like, if you said the Bills can win a championship or the Eagles or the 49ers could, you would just say, cool.
All right. Should we switch it up to some Nuggets